It's Friday, July 19th. July is almost gone.
Barely got to enjoy it. It's been so hot.
Yes. So hot. Our air conditioner is working overtime.
I got my electric bill yesterday. It's up there. As usual, we're on the edge of being hip on YouTube talking about the weather and utility bills. But instead, let's talk about robots and artificial intelligence. And to be honest, I broadened out the category a little bit this week and added in like 3D printing as well, because there wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
And there were some interesting 3D printing stories. But first, let's talk about Facebook and how they're branching out. They're not just stealing your data. No, no. They're working on AI as well.
Facebook's AI Pluribus defeats top poker professionals in a six-player Texas Hold'em. So they played a couple of different ways here with human players and two human players versus like four or five AI bots. But yeah, they've got an AI now that can play poker better than the best human players.
Here's the thing. The AI's always been able to beat you at poker, but it struggled at playing large games, especially when the humans knew that there was a robot. And these humans did know. And they did try to screw with it in certain ways. And they agreed beforehand. It's like, hey, let's agree to bet crazy sometimes just to mess with the computer. Computer didn't care. And it won by like $1.7 million.
Yeah.
So not statistically insignificant. It won by a pretty long shot.
I'm pretty sure that this software needs to exist. Like, there's probably somebody that has better AI software that's just some guy working in his garage that was playing online poker long before the Facebook AI.
Well, they talk about the threat that this could pose to online poker. Because wouldn't it be funny if at some point, without the online casino realizing it, they're just seven AI playing against their dealer?
Their dealer's not going to do well.
That's interesting. This next story, it's very interesting, but it also brings up kind of a terrifying thing that I hadn't previously thought of. I mean, well, I read that book, and you know, it gets into some of that. But if you think about going to Mars, a lot of us romanticize it, right? But we don't think about the horrible things that are going to be on Mars, like open latrines, you know, going months without showers, but also injuries and that sort of frontier medicine that's going to be going on.
A lot of frontier medicine.
On those Martian colonies. But some of that frontier medicine will be surprisingly high-tech, maybe, if they have these.
Scientists 3D print human skin and bone for Mars astronauts. Mars explorers could turn to 3D printers to treat burns and broken bones. So the 3D printing skin part is pretty cool because you basically print a lattice and then skin cells grow into the lattice. So that's pretty awesome. And then bone, it's a bone material. So these are not like new technologies in and of themselves, but being able to do this in like a space faring situation is a great way to have this kind of medical technology without it also taking up a lot of space and weight.
They also tested this on the space station, because the way we would normally do that kind of thing is nearly liquid at some phase, and in zero gravity, it might just float away. So they had to make it a little more viscous throughout the process in order to keep it, like, you know, on the plate. And but they figured it out. So good news for you Martian pioneers.
The frontier medicine's not going to be quite as bad as it was at the turn of the 19th century, but close. Very close.
It'll still be hip surgery without anesthetic, but afterwards, your hip will be really nice. So,
will it, though?
We always talk about AI in terms of, you know, the fear of the aware AI. And this story points out just how far we are from that. Even though they are talking about a new milestone, it really just points out that AI has no idea what's going on, even when it's right.
Alibaba has claimed a new record in AI language understanding. So if you have this AI go through a reading comprehension test, it does really, really well, but without actually comprehending anything of what it read.
Yeah, it actually, basic questions, so you can ask it, what is this? And if the answer to what is this is in the material, it can pretty often suss that out and tell you that's what that is, but it really has no understanding of what it's telling you. It's just doing it all based on the language, which is impressive. but not the Terminator.
Or maybe that is the Terminator, and that's why they're so relentless.
It could be, yeah.
Because, I mean, couldn't the Terminator just load up in a spaceship and go to another planet and be fine? They don't have to... They can leave us to our terrible, terribleness on here on planet Earth.
But why not both?
Yeah.
I mean, they have an unlimited supply, right? And speaking of AI and the fact that they really don't understand what's going on, but sometimes not understanding what's going on kind of works in their favor because they can just blindly make logical leaps that we never would, but probably should have.
AI trained on old scientific papers makes discoveries the humans missed. So scientists use machine learning to reveal new scientific knowledge hidden in old research papers. One of the examples they cite is the production of electricity from waste heat. It's like, what sort of materials would be conducive to producing electricity from waste heat? And I immediately thought about microprocessor cooling, although the temperatures involved are probably hundreds of degrees C, if not thousands. So it's a little different situation. And the AI, just from, it's basically a giant word association net, was able to suggest other materials that were actually viable for that type of materials research.
Well, they didn't really find new ones. What they did is they sent it back in time, essentially. They fed it old stuff. And they, so without knowing that this new thing was discovered in 2012, the AI discovered it in like 2004.
Yeah.
Just from the papers, which is pretty impressive. So they're thinking about turning this thing loose in a, you know, variety of fields and priming it to see what it can figure out.
Unfortunately, the quality of our scientific papers have gone down dramatically since 2004. So
yeah, everything that it looks at from 2019, it always goes back to gender politics. Because that's all scientific papers are. That and climate change. That's all we've got at this point in scientific papers. Remember the self-driving shuttle in Las Vegas, and we had that harrowing video of a truck very, very slowly backing into it. Well, that was November of 2017. They've just now figured out why that happened.
The self-driving shuttle crash in Vegas happened because the manual controls were locked away. Even then, this headline is wrong. The headline, that is not what happened. If you read the thing, what actually happened was the delivery truck driver backed into the self-driving thing. That is it. Yeah.
The car stopped, as you would expect a self-driving car to stop. And the self-driving car cannot be faulted for thinking, okay, I'm stopped. This person should not back into me as I'm stopped. But the truck driver did anyway. What they're talking about here is this: the controller for this thing is actually an Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah.
Which, and the military is using those now too.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, they've had years of design to figure out what works best, right? Why not? But the Xbox 360 controller was locked in a box, which was the protocol for whatever reason.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you could. So the driver and one of the passengers knew the truck was about to back into them, and they could have moved the car if they had access to the manual controls, but they didn't.
All they had was an emergency stop button, which worked. But so now, as the, I don't know if they even
the headline still remains, is like the self-driving thing crashed. It's like, no, the self-driving thing didn't do a thing. It was the delivery truck driver.
Inert car attacks delivery truck. But I don't know if they're still testing this thing, but after that, they agreed, maybe we shouldn't lock up the controller.
Yeah.
There could be situations where you need... I guess the fear was somebody would just be joyriding around with the Xbox controller.
Yeah, a drunk in Vegas gets on one of these things and is like, woo! Yeah, I could totally see that happening. That's a thing that
Although
would happen.
The wheel is still the superior way to drive a vehicle.
Yes.
Come on. I did not know that Chris was not going to be here this week. I think on some level I did, but who can keep track? And so I threw this in here because I knew she would love it. But it is impressive what they have done with 3D printing.
This tiny house was 3D printed and built in less than 48 hours. I thought I saw this and thought that this would be like if I have, you know, some forested area that's out away from everything and I want to get away for a while. This is it. Like I could do this. This is something that I would like to have just in the middle of nowhere. This is a place that I can go to get away from everything. This looks amazing.
Well, it cost you 10 grand. I think they're looking to get it down to 4.
Yeah, 4 is a little more palatable. But still, that's a really good deal.
I don't know what the... Because if you look at the ridges in the wall, do you think that could be concrete?
Yeah. That's probably how they 3D printed it. And they just painted the inside of it. You could stucco that and make it smooth if you really want, but I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it looks nice.
A lot of wood for the top part.
I imagine the wood is not included in the 48 hour.
Probably not. And the poles are probably holding the roof on, because one good strong gust of wind would come and it would just pop the top right off that thing.
Although they did talk about these for hurricane prone areas. So, although that is a lot of surface area for something to just get under there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pretty cool. And they are also aiming to get the time to print lower. Although, I mean, are people really like, it's like, oh, it's been 24 hours. When do I get my house? Yeah. That seems like, you know.
This seems like this would be a good way to deal with like homeless populations and homeless shelters too.
Well, I think it's more the land than the structure. Than the
structure, right? And, well, I mean, just put them in the desert. Just
yeah, because that's humane. Just lay out here and dehydrate.
Well, it's like 10 minutes outside of any Californian city.
10 minutes by car, right? Cars that these people don't have every day. Well, they keep them busy, right? Because they got to walk in for their water ration and then walk back.
They'll be the fittest population ever.
We've talked about the controversy of the assistants. This week it was Google, but it's been Alexa a lot of times in the past. And we've also seen that Amazon more and more wants Alexa in your car. They want her in every room of your house. They want her in new homes. And how could you get more Alexa, more Echo in your life? Well, Amazon has an answer for that, too.
Amazon continues to work on mobile home robot as it preps a new high-end Echo, says report. And the picture they've got here is terrifying. Yeah, like it's just, it's Timmy!
So apparently this little guy just follows you around in case you need to communicate with Alexa when you're pooping or something like that. I don't know. I mean, you're never going to be out of earshot. And I imagine you could throw in... A lot of robotics is for older people who are at risk, right? So maybe if grandma falls down, Timmy immediately notifies somebody. That could be good.
Timmy's not actually from Amazon, but it can integrate with Alexa. So,
yeah, but Amazon is working on their own version, which
something like this.
It's so early, I don't even think they have any kind of mock-up or anything.
I mean, how crazy is it going to be when you've got a Roomba that's Alexa integrated?
That'd be too noisy.
Well, it's just, you know, it can turn itself off and just wander into a room and be like, do you need anything? It's like, nope. What was the artist that was famous in, like, the 1950s for painting Americans not as an ideal, but, like, as they were? I can't remember. Is it Ansel Adams? No, that's not right. It's the guy. He did a bunch of magazine covers. I wonder if some of the contract workers that have the recordings from Amazon, like if one of those is going to become famous as an artist, because like they have a recording of like, you know, a husband and wife just yelling at each other at the top of their lungs. And it's like, this is America. And it's just completely unfiltered because the robots, it's like America through the eyes of their robot servants. Might be a landmark like thing, like the thing was in the 50s.
I don't think anybody, well, do you think there are a lot of people who don't know that that's how it is?
Yes.
Where do those people live?
I mean, they just they assume that they're the only ones that are massively dysfunctional. Yeah,
well, there is that like they say that romantic comedies are the greatest enemy of relationships on the female side, and hardcore pornography is the greatest relationship enemy on the male side, because they both create such unrealistic expectations. It really is somewhere in the middle. If you're a big fan of StarCraft, you might have an interesting new player on the ladder soon, and you probably won't like encountering this player.
DeepMind StarCraft 2 AI will soon take on regular players without telling them. OpenAI's Dota 2 bots took the public in April, and it went poorly for the humans. Yeah, StarCraft is hard to play. The AI is doing an amazing job.
Yeah, and I think DeepMind beat what they called pros, but it wasn't like the best of the best pros. It was some people who were probably on the down curve of their reaction time, but still impressive.
Yeah.
So I think on the ladder, that's got to be like 90% of the players this thing's going to encounter.
How cool would it be? It's like if you're suspected of playing with a bot, you secretly get one of these things. And if you manage to beat this, it's like, oh, yeah, that guy's definitely playing with a bot.
Now, you do you can opt out of it. There is a checkbox that you're going to have to whether or not you might get the AI. It's also going to be I think a fairly low chance, but they are going to, they're trying to get more data from the average StarCrafter. So I like StarCraft, but it's just so taxing. It's exhausting to try to play StarCraft because especially when you're trying to pick it up at this point where most of the people who play it are hardcore.
Seasoned people that have been playing it for 20 years.
Yeah, you got to get in. That's like when we play Overwatch with Krista and her matchmaking ranking drags it up. And then we're playing with people. It's like we're just a couple of normies and just getting dominated. It's not fun. So, yeah, that's I've missed my chance there. Too bad. Moving on to nonsense. Now, this story, the only thing I love about this story is the word plunits. I love the word plunits. It's so satisfying to say.
Science News says that moons that escape their planets could soon become plunits. So this is Super Troopers. Is that the movie where he's saying meow instead of now? That's what plunits is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting word because usually you take the whole beginning of one word or the whole end of another word. But here you're just replacing the vowels.
Yeah.
But it is an amazing. Plunits is a great word. And they're just talking about how sometimes a moon will escape.
Ours is going to escape eventually.
And just go rogue and then becomes a plunit. But plunits are not long-lived because they're kind of like free radicals out there. They get captured by something, or they fall into the sun, or whatever.
Didn't somebody model like when our moon escapes from its orbit, it will probably re-enter the Earth's orbit and collide with the Earth, and that'll probably
that
be bad.
Was something I think they mentioned that happened a lot. And yeah, that would be an extinction event. Yeah. I would think. Yeah. What a way to go. But now on a time scale, will that happen before the sun cools to a dangerous degree?
No, I don't think so. I think it's before the sun is going to engulf our planet, you know, by turning into a red giant, but it is likely that we will have already undergone a lot of bad things from other changes that are happening inside the star.
I guess that'll be a problem for the Martian colonists, won't it?
We could go the wandering Earth thing and just strap a bunch of rockets to Earth and just pilot it somewhere else.
What are we going to use for fuel?
The rocks and the Earth itself.
I don't think that's how fuel works. It's interesting because we're getting into a world where drugs are being decriminalized and legalized in a lot of places. Where is the place where mushrooms are legal now? Is that Colorado?
Is it?
There's one state where mushrooms are okay.
It might be Colorado, I think, then.
So, but in Germany, a very rich man has taken mushrooms, and now he has made it his goal in life to bring it to the masses.
The psychedelics evangelist in Scientific American, a German financier, wants to turn magic mushrooms into modern medicine. So he's talking about how these psychedelics could actually treat PTSD and other things like that. So he traveled somewhere that these were legal and tried them and was like, wow, this was life-changing. We need to do more of this. And it kind of reminded me about some of the stuff that Joe Rogan has said was it Joe Rogan or one of his guests? I don't even remember.
No, Joe Rogan is a big proponent of psychedelics. And he claims that if you get in your sensory deprivation tank and you're high on, I think DMT is the one that he talks about, but you are, it's pure superego. Like, all instinct and present self goes away. And you're just like on this higher place.
Hmm.
And that's what this guy describes. And when you come back from that, you have a whole different outlook on life.
Hmm.
So.
Well, if it's, you know, a less depressed outlook on life, I would say like half the U.S. population probably needs that.
Now, the other side of that coin, of course, is the people who take it and like shoot themselves or something. Although that could be purity of whatever it is or dosage or whatever. And so you imagine that if they're doing it like this, they would have a scientific way of approaching that.
You could do it as a resort. That could be a theme resort where you just show up and then...
Well, that's the... you can go to South America and do the... what's the name of it? Ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's sort of a religious thing.
Yeah.
And so you go down there and you go to the shaman.
The guy that wrote the Fingerprints of the Gods did that, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy's got some crazy stories. But, I don't know if I would be tempted to do an LSD weekend or a mushroom weekend.
My brain barely functions as it is. I don't want to disturb that.
That is something like, it's sort of like having kids, right? When I come out the other side of it, I know that chemically I'm going to be changed. And I might like that, but would now Ryan like post-mushroom Ryan? And does that matter? You know, there's a lot of really high-level questions.
Does pre-mushroom Ryan cease to exist? Does he die, in a sense?
Because I know, like, post-kids Ryan, current Ryan would not like. I'm assuming that I would undergo that change where I didn't hate them. You know? I don't think everybody does that, though. I think some people are pretending. I don't want to take that risk.
I can't tolerate things that mess with my sleep schedule.
Well, don't get cats, then. This is a great feel-good story about Uber and wildlife.
Drunk man sends injured baby bird to wildlife rescue center in an Uber. So this is pretty cool. The guy was drunk, but he had the presence of mind to just call an Uber, and it's just like, here's a baby bird, take it to the wildlife center. Your destination is already programmed.
Well, he called the wildlife center, and he explained to them that he was a little drunk, and they discovered this bird while they were out drinking, and he wanted to get the bird to the wildlife center, but, of course, being a responsible consumer of alcohol, he wasn't going to hop in the car. Now, he mentioned that a couple of Uber drivers showed up and then turned him down. They would not transport the bird.
Interesting.
I mean, I guess the bird could poop, but I think it was in a container or something. So
it was an injured baby bird.
I don't know, but everything played out. Eventually, they got an Uber driver who was happy to deliver him. Look at him.
I'm glad it wasn't a pigeon, because that would have been a waste.
I don't know what kind of bird it was. But yeah, all is well. The bird, we assume, is still alive. What about that cost? Did they say how much the Uber drive costs?
I don't think so.
That would be a good thing to put in your story, cake.com. Cake. I guess that's just the call letters.
The cake is a lie.
Of that local affiliate. Man, I'm terrible at figuring out which is the active tab. It changed the color scheme here.
Oh, yeah. This story was great.
So we see a lot more and more people, the law enforcement, using Facebook and Twitter and stuff as a way to try and track down criminals. And because of the nature of the attention whoring in social media, the criminals will often respond to their own dragnet posts. And that's what happened here.
So a woman wanted for second-degree murder comments on the photo that the police released of her, and she said, "That picture ugly." It me.
So yeah, she didn't care for that picture.
She's suspected for murder in Louisiana.
Second degree murder. I wonder what the extenuating circumstance was that made it second degree. In any case, she posted that she didn't like the picture. They invited her to come down and they'd take another one, which she eventually did show up.
Wow. Yeah.
But there was also $1,000 reward, so she had to think that. Somebody.
Do you get the reward if you turn yourself in?
I don't think so. That's how that works. Wow. If that was true, people would be committing crimes just to see how much of a reward they could get. You know, they'd be on the run. We talk about a lot about Area 51. You know, you mentioned the Fingerprints of the Gods guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Joe Rogan did a show with him that was very interesting because he went through all that stuff. And then Joe Rogan just recently did the Bob Lazar about the alien stuff. He claimed to work at Area 51.
Well, yeah.
And that was... It's...
It looks like the half-dome gravity manipulator thing.
Yeah, and it's probably... You gotta think it's probably just bullshit, right? But it's really good world-building. You know, it's like Tolkien level. He keeps his story straight, and he's got all the facts, and he has a really good... Like, he should just write books. You know, he should do the L. Ron Hubbard thing. Except in reverse, right?
It's like a Wheel of Time level of mythology here. Just get a writer in there.
But anyway, a lot of stuff that he talked about, I think maybe that sparked some of this movement on Facebook.
Yeah, CNN Travel has this story about thousands of people, you know, taking to Facebook to pledge that they're going to storm Area 51 to see them aliens. I see this, and I think... Aren't there more important things people could be worried about? Like, there's a lot of... Like, if we're going to storm somewhere, there's a lot of places we could storm and probably accomplish a lot more good.
Also, let's assume for a minute. Let's suspend all disbelief, right? Let's say Area 51 is packed with alien artifacts and vessels and everything that we can assume is true.
That's where they put the Ark of the Covenant
and
that Indiana Jones movie.
And they've gone to the greatest lengths to hide it from us all. This is supposed to take place in September. You don't think between now and September, the secret alien government isn't going to move all that stuff out of there? I mean, come on. You got to do this as a surprise. One of the things they said about this is they can't shoot us all. Sir, I think they could.
I think they definitely could.
I mean, especially if they've got alien technology.
Yeah. But between the infrared goggles and a whole bunch of other things, you couldn't get within 2 miles, and they wouldn't be able to tell all of you individually. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was the Bob Lazar. That's one of the things that in his story, he took some friends, like, just to the edge of the property, and they were just kind of, like, hanging out, looking at it and drinking. And he was like, yeah, that's where I work, and all this crazy stuff is there. And they immediately just descended on him. You know, because, like, of course we're monitoring this, you idiot. Yeah. We often hear a lot about people who are addicted to gaming, and for whatever reason, they lose access to the game. There was that kid that his father was a cop, and he shot him because he wouldn't let him play.
Oh, yeah, he went out to the car, yeah.
Wouldn't buy him a console or something like that. Wasn't that what that was about?
Yeah.
And then there's kids who, you know, a Fortnite addiction thing where they just, like, won't eat and won't go to school and fight their parents and stuff like that. And this story is one of those taken to the extreme.
Sword-wielding gamer arrested after threatening people because of a power outage. He, quote, I'm going to kill you, unquote. So this is from The Gamer. And the stock photo, I don't know.
That's Sephiroth.
Oh, yeah, from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
The
ultimate cool katana guy. I imagine if you're a katana guy, in your mind's eye, that's what you look like when you're in public with your katana.
I just think that he didn't have anything else better to do with his time, so he was just sort of going crazy.
Well, so what happened here was they had a contractor at their house doing some electrical work. And as you might do before you do electrical work, turned off the local power. And nobody had told Junior about this, I imagine, because he was locked in his room 24 hours a day. And so in mid-game, he was cut off. And it sent him into this blind rage. It ultimately led to a police standoff.
Wow.
But he did give up eventually.
Let's calm down a little bit.
So I guess
I might have overreacted.
He realized he hadn't mastered the blade to the point that he could stop those 9mm bullets that the cops had. So discretion was the better part of swordsmanship that day.
Oh no, I missed this one. No.
Well, it's pretty much what it says in the headline.
A 14-year-old has quit school to play Fortnite. But what are the details?
So here's the thing about it. This kid, you might think, well, who let this kid do this? Doesn't he need his parents' permission to do this? His dad claims, quote unquote, I've been breeding him for this. So the father has some sort of eBay business related to gaming. Maybe gaming paraphernalia or something like that or whatever. But you also get the impression that they've got a little bit of money because the kid's 14, he can't drive yet, but his father has already purchased him a Maserati with a personalized license plate that matches his gamer tag.
Wow.
Yeah. So he claims, this is the father claiming that the kid was sort of a dynamo when it came to video games, and at 3 he was playing video games and mastering them. And so he's like, yeah, he's on a Fortnite training regimen. And he doesn't have time for regular school. He does 3 hours of online school in between Fortnite runs every day.
Well, that's one way to ride a bot.
But if your dad's got Maserati money, does it matter?
He's going to have his own merchandise line soon.
Yeah. I wonder if he streams.
He probably should.
That'd be one way to supplement that income, right?
Our next story didn't make any sense at all.
This is one of those stories where I put it in there before I read it. And after I read it, I was like, what did I just read? But I think I kind of understand it. I'll get your interpretation first.
U.S. court says the Night King from Game of Thrones was completely meaningless. So this there was a court case, and the court case was about some random crap that doesn't matter. And the U.S. judge was like, look, a lot you the lawyers here are making arguments about this court case, but the matter before the court is this. All of this stuff in the argument doesn't matter. It's like the Night King from the last season of Game of Thrones.
That's exactly what. But because that is now in case law, then the U.S. court system has declared that the Night King never mattered. I guess.
So why?
If you want to sue the creators of the show.
Spoiler alert, I guess, in case anybody hasn't seen it still. Sorry.
I mean, if you haven't watched the last season, don't. Just whatever's in your head that you think is going to happen is better. So I wouldn't poison that.
They did the Half-Life 3 thing. The whole reason there's no Half-Life 3 is because anything that they come up with is going to be disappointing, because the story has built, the Half-Life story, the Gordon Freeman story has built to such a point and such a degree that there is no satisfying end to that story.
Except there will be when he writes it. It would be like, okay, Valve and the original writers did Half-Life 1 and 2, but we let a litter of kittens with fetal alcohol syndrome write Half-Life 3, and somehow the story didn't turn out well.
I don't know. I don't know. My faith in George R.R. Martin is shaken to write a satisfying ending to that story.
I think he has the ability to write a satisfying ending. Does he have the ability to write it before he dies? That's the question. It's a race against time right now, or whatever disease is taking him out. You know, there's got to be something. We have a problem in this country with smartphones. The smartphone has destroyed some things. Like, I wonder about, you know, bars do like a trivia night. How do they enforce no phones for that?
They would have to, otherwise it would be too easy to cheat.
Yeah, it's too easy to cheat. And then, you know, you think of things like game shows and stuff like that. I'm sure that's, you have to really control, like, of course the contestant doesn't have a phone, but what if somebody in the audience has one and there's some sort of signaling mechanism?
They're blinking out in Morse code the solutions.
Or, like, imagine if it's, what's the one that was multiple choice and you could phone a friend?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
That's four choices. I could easily signal you one of four options from the audience if you could see me. Easily.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing, you know, you really have to think about how do we defend against this. And some of the oldest games are not immune.
Chess Grandmaster admits to cheating with a phone on the toilet during the tournament. So, yeah, he went to the crapper and he was playing the game on his phone or whatever to try to win.
I get the impression that they do search you when you come in to sit down and when you come back from the bathroom. So he had hidden it there earlier, like Michael Corleone. And someone went into the bathroom after him and discovered it. Here's the interesting thing about the story. Somebody went back after they figured this out and dug up his performance. And somehow, right around this time, he got way better. Remarkably better. And so there's some question of, like, has he been getting away with this for a little while? A dark day. He's retired. He admitted it, and he said that was his last chess game. He's done. Can't keep up. This story is astonishing.
On so many levels.
I mean, I'm right there with you on the front line. If you start shooting first in the SJW revolution to fight against the nonsense that we're living under, I'm ready. Start it tomorrow. But there is a counterweight to that. There is the other side that can be just as crazy. And we can't embrace them just because we hate what's happening now.
Newsweek has this headline, which is 1 million moms protest the Toy Story 4 over quote-unquote dangerous lesbian scene. So it's not even a scene. It's just in the background, there's a little girl that's dropped off by two women.
And we don't know that they're lesbians.
We don't.
What if they're sisters? What if it's a mother and a stepmother?
Or what if it's... Well, sisters is good, too, because it's like the sisters are going off to high school or whatever, and they're dropping off their little sister at wherever this is.
But the comments that they make about like how horrific this is, subtle in order to desensitize children. To what?
Is it, though?
Obvious that the child has two mothers and they are parenting together. But is it? I don't know. Subtle but obvious promotion of the LGBTQ lifestyle.
Is it, though?
I don't think it is.
I tried to watch the clip and I didn't see these things.
But it's also, it's part of that idea about like children should not be exposed to sex, for example, right?
But they weren't in the clip.
But what I'm saying is, like, should we actually take that stance? Because is it at all possible for you to shield your children from that once they get out into the real world? There are lesbian couples, and they might encounter them.
I'm pretty sure that children would be more exposed to sex through the Dick Van Dyke Show, where Laura and Dick slept in different bedrooms.
And they have to ask why.
Yeah. And that was more than whatever this was in the Toy Story clip.
But here's the thing. With what do you think the average age is that a kid gets a smartphone and or tablet with the internet on it?
Oh gosh, like very young.
Because
they're ready.
You think 5, 6?
Because it's not like you've reached a level of maturity. Here is your device. It is a game of exhaustion. The children will exhaust their parents, and it's like here's this magic box that makes you stop.
But on that day, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Anything that you've tried to shield them from up until that point, it's over. They've seen it.
Yeah.
And they're not seeing it in a necessarily educational light at that point. And they might be getting some weird signals.
You know, as a kid, you were a reader, I think. I was a reader. And so it was from the time I could pick up a book, it was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That was before the internet.
And my parents were...
Because the land I was from didn't have the internet, even though the internet was a thing.
My parents were very strict when I was really young about, you know, what kind of stuff I could consume in terms of media.
We weren't allowed to have a TV.
But books, they didn't care. They're like, oh, reading is good. You should definitely be reading. And they were both, like, big readers. So we had, like, just a giant library of shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I could get away with whatever I want in the book world. Which, actually, that may be a pro-parenting strategy. Because as long as I thought I was getting away with something, I was reading like crazy. And I think that helped me in life, you know?
Wow, this book is seriously messed up. These characters are just terrible.
Yeah. I got a hold of, Tropic of Cancer or Tropic of Capricorn or something like that at one point. And I was like, whoa. Who overlooked this? I shouldn't have this.
Why is this in the school library? I don't understand.
The lesbian couple thing is just, it's ridiculous.
Right. Not as ridiculous as our next story, which we've covered before, but it's always nice to have a new piece of data that confirms what we knew already.
But before we move to this story, here's a question for you. If you're Disney, right, is it more damaging PR-wise to come out and say that couple is not a lesbian and anger one side, or to come out and say, yes, that couple is a lesbian and we celebrate LGBTQ, which is the worst move down to dollars?
That's an engagement challenge question right there. We want to see the math. Show your work.
But yeah, you're talking about this story, and I think we did cover this maybe before, but someone has once again discovered it.
Turns out that Juggalo makeup blocks facial recognition technology. And so if you're not familiar with Juggalos, as I was not the first time I encountered this story, it's a music thing. And if you are a Juggalo, that is a fan. I guess like, you know, a Kiss Army soldier, maybe. And then a Juggalo is kind of like that. Although I guess those are warring factions, technically.
You can also be a Juggalette.
Okay.
There's that great YouTube channel where the guy's like, this is for all the Juggalos and Juggalettes. And then he... He jumps onto something dangerous. And that's all it is.
It's black and white face paint, and so a lot of AI face recognition technology has no idea what to do with that. So you are invisible to those technologies.
This is a really well done stock photo, because I don't know how well you can see that, but there's little versions of them inside these ice creams. Anyway, they point out why this is the case, and I suppose the Violent J version. What's the other guy's name?
I don't know.
Shaggy Too Dope.
Okay.
Although it's funny because he's Shaggy Too Dope, I assume that used to like be related to his hair, but now he's bald. So he's not Shaggy at all. Anyway, the AI looks at your jawline, and he is completely like his jaw is down here, but he's redrawn this, so the AI is completely confused by the jawline. So if you're gonna do Juggalo paint. Now, I wonder what the etiquette is. Here's another engagement challenge. Do you mimic your favorite insane clown with your face paint, or do you do your own design?
Well, your own design would be more recognizable once you knew the secret, like on closed circuit television and things like that. Once you found it, it's like, hey, AI, look for this face paint. I think you'd have to change your face paint every day.
But if they all do one of the two, then you're lost in a sea of...
Oh, yeah, that would be much better, yeah.
So I don't know exactly how that's supposed to work. This goes out to all the juggalos and juggalettes. Tell us how you do it.
Eventually, it's going to be like in a Scanner Darkly where you have to wear the face mask that just changes your appearance constantly. Or if you prefer Rorschach from Watchmen.
But here's the thing. This is only for one kind of facial recognition AI.
Yeah.
For example, the Apple face scan, this would be useless against because it's a 3D representation. It doesn't look at the colors or anything like that.
Or the Chinese gait recognition algorithm.
Yeah. You have to paint one of the two clowns, and then you have to adopt the Juggalo swag, and you all walk the same as well.
Truly, it is the darkest timeline when you show up and in all this getup and garb at McDonald's, and the McDonald's AI is like, your usual, sir? And it's the correct usual.
It's your license plate.
Yeah.
What do you think the usual for a Juggalo is at McDonald's?
A large black coffee and probably a triple patty, like whatever's the triple patty thing with bacon.
Extra straws.
Extra straws, yeah.
All right, well, that's all we got this week, and
we'll see you next week, probably with Kristen, maybe, possibly camping. We don't know.
It could be another. We don't even. A cabin was mentioned.
LTX is coming up soon. I'm going to be there.
So I don't know. The only way you'll find out is if you tune back in, right?